October 11th. Thursday is Tom Van Sant's birthday. So, happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Tonight we will be in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, verses 11 to 14. To the dull of hearing. And that's not reference to ears, that's a reference to a condition of the heart. So it's an admonition to us to be open to the instruction of the Holy Spirit in the truth of the Word of God. So join us tonight at 7 on Zoom. This afternoon we will be at the Golden Strip in Williamsport for the annual Life Chain, praying for an end to abortion in this country. So you're welcome to join us for that as well. Dan.
Yes. Thank you. Well, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Would you use the Lord's Prayer? Or would you recite the Lord's Prayer for us?
Yeah. You got it. You want me to read it now?
You can say the one out of the head, though.
Oh, I do the trespass. Debtors?
Yeah.
All right. Yeehaw. All righty, shall we bow our head and say the Lord's Prayer using debt and debtors? Our Father,
which art in
heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Excuse me, Lord. But lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory,
forever. Amen.
Let's ask the Lord for guidance. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather together in your most holy name. We thank you that you are our place of refuge. You are our hope. You are our help in Christ Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon us and dwell in us richly. We pray that your will be done. We do ask for your help in this moment. We pray that we have a real sense of your presence, Lord Jesus, where you ask that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst of them. So we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We pray that we have an understanding of your word this day, that we leave this place blessed, that we be a blessing to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would turn in your hymn notes to hymn number 577.
Thank you.
our times are in His hands. And you know, I'm so thankful that that's where they should be. What a wonderful Savior we have in Christ Jesus. On this, the next page, we're going to cross the page, hymn number 579, Be Still My Soul. Take your seats. man was once going through, I read this week sometime, a man was going through a difficult time, and this man was a humorist. Someone came up to him and said, cheer up. Things are likely to get better before they get worse. And so he cheered up, and they got worse. It is encouraging to know that we can gather together. The subject that I'm on today is about life, and it's in the context of where some of you will be this afternoon. This scourge that is upon the land, the taking of the lives of the unborn. Spurgeon wrote, he said, life is a precious thing, and in its humblest form, it is superior to death. Life is conscious existence. We're aware that we're alive today. We're conscious of that fact. We hear a lot in our culture today where we're given a lot of mandates. You're supposed to do this, you're supposed to wear that, you're not allowed to go here, you're not allowed to go there. A lot of mandates. And they expect you to be with the full measure of law to adhere to them. But I think we need to, on this day, remember the mandates that God gives us. There's a mandate that God gives us. There's a life mandate. A life mandate. Thou shalt not kill. That's a mandate. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. And so when we're confronted with these subjects, such as the taking of the life of the innocent, let's see what the scriptures say in regards to this. Well, we all know that we were created in the image of God. Then God said, Genesis 1:26, let us make mankind in our image. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we can read in the ninth chapter, verse 4, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. When we deprive people of the innocent of their lives, we deprive them of any hope of life. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Children are the precious image bearers of our Lord Jesus. Abortion is an attack against life. It's an attack against Jesus, in whose image we were created. When it comes to being created in the image of God, I wonder what that means. Well, we usually look at that in the context of a literal physical image. I believe that we were created in the image of Jesus. We read in Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17, the Son, this is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. For in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things exist. So we see that the taking of the life of the unborn is a violation against God's mandate, you shall not kill. Image bearers, both a physical resemblance and a spiritual resemblance. Our God says, be holy as I am holy. I don't believe when God says that we are to be His image bearers, or He created us in His image. That He was looking for a physical pattern or a likeness. But God is holy. And we should respect and reflect the spiritual. We should be spiritual reflectors of God. We should show the love of Jesus Christ to the world. We should show the world that we have a joy that surpasses and a peace that surpasses understanding. We should be long-suffering in nature. We should show the kindness of the Lord Jesus one to another and to our neighbors. To show the goodness of God. To show the faithfulness of God. To show gentleness and self-control. Children are the precious image bearers of our Lord Jesus. To make a comparison, from the time Jesus came all those years ago to that little town of Bethlehem, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, He came in a very difficult time. There was a man, a king that was reigning at that time, his name was Herod, a baby killer. Herod killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem. This is recorded in the second chapter of Matthew. All the baby boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. From the time of Jesus' incarnation until the time of His crucifixion, there were those who had thoughts of murder upon their minds and in their hearts against Jesus. And in this country today, even, there are those in the highest corridors of power who are acting like that baby killer Herod, that wicked Herod, King Herod, trying to kill the innocent image bearers of our Creator, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. You see, Jesus came to deliver us. I'd like to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verses 12 to 14. And I believe this is a prophetic psalm. It predicts Jesus' coming. For He, Jesus, will deliver the needy when He comes, the poor also, and him, the ones who has no helper. And He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in His sight. Jesus came to deliver children. All that God created was for good. He came not to take the lives of the innocent. I cannot help but reflect back to, I'll read first Hebrews 12, verse 24. In Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. I go back, but let's go back for a moment in the scriptures where Cain killed Abel. Very difficult time after Abel. Cain killed Abel. The Lord said to Abel, meaning to Cain, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands." Verse 11, now you are under a curse and driven from the ground of the land, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops. For you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. I thought of this country in which we live. For so long, we've turned away from God. And I think that on a day like today, when we remember those innocents that were murdered and that are being murdered, that we remember that God knows about it. As was Abel's blood, as it cried out from the ground, from the earth, God heard it. He heard and he hears the cry. How much does he hear? Well, read in the book of Revelation. And this is reference to those who were martyred, those who were in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter, I believe it's 6. When Jesus opened the fifth seal, I, John, saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed, just as they had been. There will be those, maybe some even in our midst, those of our generation, who will die for the cause of Christ. We know that in different parts of the world that's happening, that there are those who are persecuted and die innocently. But why are things in such a rapid state of deterioration in this country? One, because we have not listened to God. It was a kindness of God to talk and to confront Cain about his crime of murder, working on his conscience, asking him to listen. I think for those who stand on the street corner this day, to just take the time and listen. All those cries of all those children. Listen. Listen to their cries. What does that sound like? Well, Jesus gave us an example when he died on the cross. This passage in Revelation chapter 6, where it said he opened the book of the fifth seal. They cried out in a loud voice. Anyone who is innocent and is falsely charged, when confronted with dying, would cry out in a loud voice. Why? Why are you doing this? There is a picture. It was a medical picture of an unborn child, and they were taking a syringe to kill the child, and they have the picture of it where the child with his hand was reaching out to stop it. There's an awareness of this happening by the innocent. The death of Jesus, Matthew 27, verse 46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus again cried out in a loud voice before he died, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. I want you to know, in the midst of all this bloodshed, let us consider the blood that Jesus shed for our behalf. That passage that I read from the book of Hebrews, where to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus is far greater than that of Abel's. However, how precious Abel's blood was. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse and to heal this land of ours. It can forgive us as a nation. You know, we have a tendency, and this is where I have some conflict, because we always go to the world to try to solve this problem. And that's not the cure, the solution to the problem that God gives us. We are to go to Him. We are to go to Him. There's a verse in the book of Chronicles, and we hear this quoted often, but I think it falls on dead ears. Verse 14 of chapter 7. If, and I want to just stop with the word if, that's conditional. The rest of this verse doesn't matter if we do not take the point that we understand if and only when we do this, it will be answered. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We live in a day of pride. We came through a season of national pride. The greatest economy ever. The greatest military ever. Now, there's nothing wrong with having civic pride. But we need to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Why? He said, if my people who are called by my name, his name is holy, the will of the flesh will fail. We have not the human strength to overcome the forces of darkness. We just do not have it. That doesn't alleviate our responsibility in the flesh to stand up and against and to speak out against it. We have that responsibility. But we are to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Pray and seek my face, God says. Pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. He's not talking about the average person on the street. He's talking about my people. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about those who bear his name, those who are betrothed to him, those who are the sheep of his pasture. They are to turn from their wicked ways. Are you telling me that Christians do wicked things? That God's people do wicked things? Well, it says here that they do. This is God saying. He says, only then, if you humble yourself and you pray and seek my face and turn from your sins, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Bloodshed of the innocents, precious shall be their blood in his sight. Proverbs 24, verses 11 to 12. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those who are staggering, those staggering towards slaughter. The vulnerable. If you say, we knew nothing about this, does not God, who weighs the heart, perceive it? Does not God, who guards your life, know it? Will God not repay? There's all kinds of opinions out there. You hear people talking, and it's a perspective of the world. religious perspectives. If you want the devil's perspective, consult the world's news mediums. And that's what we are getting on the right and the left. Putting brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, father against son, mother against daughter. This passage says we are to rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those who are vulnerable, who are staggering towards slaughter. How can we say in the body of Christ that we knew nothing about this? For we know, each one of us, that God knows our hearts. He perceives what's in it. He is the one who guards our lives. He knows it. And God will repay. So I just want to encourage each of us this day. And I know this is a topical sermon. And I want to encourage each one of us to not hide our heads in the sand with regard to this matter. But our testimony goes beyond this. Yes, we need to stand up and say something against this scourge upon the land. But we also need to remember the testimony, the message to which we are to lead forth in. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find life in Jesus, and He is the hope of our lives. Life is being aware that we exist. We realize that we are created in His image, that we are the sheep of His pasture. We know, as Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We need to reflect Christ Jesus. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we do have love for one another, that we have a love for the Lord, a love that He had for us, as He commanded us, a new love I have given you, that you love one another as I have loved you. A love that is willing to lay down one's life for the cause of Christ. One that I think, and I can speak for myself, there's lacking that joy, the joy of the Lord. People need to see that we have the joy of the Lord. We need to see that we have that peace that surpasses understanding. Willing to be long-suffering in all that we do when affliction comes our way. I personally have come under attack. The threat of life. Also, the threat of taking what I said out of context. Or making up things about what we say as believers. Real attacks. But we are to be long-suffering in this. To endure it. And to show kindness. To pray as Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you see people under the threat of wickedness, who are under the control and under the dominion of the forces of darkness, we need to be kind to them and to show them the goodness of the Lord in Christ Jesus, to see that we are faithful and that we do not go astray, and to be gentle, and far more yet to be self-controlled. Well, I hope that this word was encouragement to you or a challenge to you. But I want to encourage you, as we all need to do, to turn to God in times of need on behalf of those who are going through difficult times, for those who cannot speak for themselves, for those who are vulnerable, to know that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is a refuge, there is a safe place, there is hope, there is healing, there is fire, that God will be with you. Turn in your hymnals in closing. Hymn number 696. God be with you until we meet again. We can sing this a cappella, Bob.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil when heart doth fail. God will take care of you when nature steers your path of sail. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Trust Him and you will be satisfied. God will take care of you.
Yes, I think it's important that each of us who profess to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior need to know our civic duty. I think it's clear in that first chapter of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Until we take that to heart, I don't think we'll see any change in the country. And I don't think we're there yet, but I hope and pray that we get there soon. That we seek God and call upon His most holy name. Lord bless you and keep you. May His shine His face upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving, amen.